As most of you know, 99 Walks has lots of core values, 99 of them to be exact. And today on the Weekly Walk podcast, Eric and I are going to share a few of our favorites, our personal favorite core values, and explore some of the stories and the reasons why those particular core values seem to resonate with us. So I hope you have your own favorite core values, and if you want to hear about ours, lace up your sneakers and let's get going. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Joyce.
What's your favorite core value?
What's a core value?
Where you been the last 5 years?
Under a rock.
99 Walks has 99 core values.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
Can they all be core, or they're all core to somebody? Is that the point?
No, I don't think so. I think they're all core at different times. I mean, certainly people develop their own kind of personal core values. But life is long, right? I think different things are important at different times.
And they're all sort of situational.
No, they're not all situational.
Some are situational.
They are?
Yes.
Okay, what's situational?
Well, then we're going to get into some of my favorite ones.
That's okay, but we can do that. But I don't think they're situational as, I don't know. All right, so what do you mean by situational?
Well, let's use eat the cupcake.
I knew that's where you were going. It is literally your favorite core value.
It is my favorite core value because I love cupcakes. But I think it's situational.
I can't remember the last time I had a really good cupcake.
I know, right?
Can we have a really good cupcake at some point today?
Yeah, let's see if we can get one in. We're traveling. Oh, wrong terminal. Anyway, you know what I was thinking.
Yeah, those little mini cupcakes, but they don't do...
Melissa's Baked by Melissa.
Yeah, those little cupcake bites. That doesn't do it for me. I want to...
Because I can fit the whole thing in my mouth with one of those little ones, and I think part of the thing is having, like, the ice cream smush all over your lip.
Not the ice cream, the icing.
Icing, yes. Smush all over your mouth.
Upper lip.
Yeah. Saving it for later. It's just great. Hanging out on the upper lip there.
All right. So,
but eat the cupcake is something that we sort of say. To me, it means you're following like the 90% rule. Like you are doing good things for your body and doing good things, but then when it's little Tiffany's 6th birthday party and there's a cupcake, go ahead and eat the cupcake, right? So that's sort of situational.
It's so not situational, number one. And number two, you're being so literal.
And number three, do people actually name their kid Tiffany anymore? Wasn't that like a 70s and 80s thing?
No, I think that's a name.
It's a lovely name. It's just not in the top, 50 like it was.
When was the last time you studied the top 50? Names
when we were naming our children,
exactly, which was 20 years ago.
But a bump. Okay,
so here's the
core
thing. Here's the thing about the core values. They I believe, and I wrote them, so it's hard for me to sort of choose my favorites and whatever, but I think most of them have a deeper metaphor to them. So eat the cupcake is not necessarily about the 90-10 dietary structure that you seem to like to embrace. It is much more, for me, I mean, yes, sometimes it's eat the cupcake, but it really, to me, connotes this idea that often we have to do the work, because sometimes doing the things to get us where we want to be, sometimes those are hard. Sometimes that work requires sacrifice, which you know as well as anybody. But like, sometimes you just got to lie in your bed and read a book. Sometimes you just have to indulge. And that doesn't mean necessarily eating a cupcake. It means indulging in something that doesn't necessarily drive you towards your goals, doesn't necessarily connote the work, doesn't all the things. It's just sometimes we got to allow ourselves to do things just because we flip and feel like it. And to that extent, I think that is not situational. I think that's a core principle of a way to live a beautiful life.
I hear you. That sounds good. And
That sounds good.
Makes perfect sense.
Not to say I don't now really want a cupcake today. Remember that night we went looking for cake? I don't know that we've ever shared that. So there was a period of time that Eric and I were watching baking shows. I don't know why. I mean, we watched, other than the Great British Baking Show, which we watched some of, but just didn't. It's funny because I know that's so popular, but it didn't necessarily grab us. But we watched baking shows and chocolate making shows. And then one night at like 7:30, I looked at Eric and I said, like, I need a piece of cake. Like, cake. You remember?
I remember it.
So what happened?
So we went to the first restaurant that we thought would have cake for dessert. We thought we'd just go and sit at the bar and have dessert. And they had key lime pie.
Key lime parfaits.
Coconut torts. blueberry cobbler. And all we wanted was chocolate cake.
You wanted chocolate cake, I would have been perfectly happy with vanilla cake. I wanted cake and frosting.
Right.
Cake, old school cake and frosting.
Layers of cake with buttercream frosting.
That was it.
In between and on the outside.
Yep.
I think we went to 5 different restaurants and asked, and we were just about to give up, and across the street from one of the restaurants,
the restaurant which had apple pie,
yeah,
and brownies
and creme brulee, and across the street is a little Italian
deli takeout place,
pizzeria, but they have like everything there. And we go in and we are looking for cake, and on the bottom shelf of the chilled refrigerator display case in a plastic clamshell was this ginormous slice of chocolate cake. And I believe it was early fall. And we bought it and immediately went out to a bench on the sidewalk and ate it until we were nauseous. Satisfied that craving.
That is exactly. And to be clear, we haven't done it since, but today might be a cupcake. All right. Do you know the story of the day I started writing the 99 Walks core values?
No, actually, I don't. And maybe when you say it, I will remember, but I don't think I know this.
I don't think you will, because you were so under the weather. So we were in Colorado. We were staying in this very strange hotel, and it had like a little living room area with a gas fireplace. And do you remember this trip? And you got sick, like you just weren't even able to ski for a couple of days. And
I don't even, what mountain were we? Was this Keystone?
Vail.
Okay.
And I got up, as I often do, at like 4 a.m, and we 99 Walks didn't even exist. It was just an idea. It was barely a concept. And I sat down with a notepad and I just started writing core values, kind of things I believe in, things I know. And then, oh my gosh. And then we iterated and we got feedback from the team, and we've changed a couple of them, a handful of them over the years, but mostly they've stuck. And I really do, for me, feel like in here are the nuggets for a life well lived. And I guess to your point, not every core value resonates with everybody. Not everybody agrees with every core value. It's definitely a pick and choose kind of situation.
Well, there's 99 of them.
It's a lot. And some of them are conflicting.
Yeah. So like the ones that conflict, and I think we even get a little pushback on, are say yes and say no.
Oh, I've never, you've gotten pushback on that? I've never gotten pushback on that.
No, I've pushed back on it.
You have?
I mean, I get them, but at first it was like, okay, really? Because they're so contradictory.
They're exactly contradictory.
So why'd you put them in there?
Because I think that we need to be intentional about when we say yes and when we say no. And maybe this is a little bit more of a woman thing. The research certainly suggests that women are more likely to say yes. And now I don't mean to imply, you know, no means no, and it's not that conversation at all. But I suppose it's not just women, right? People who tend towards kind of a people pleaser kind of mentality and really want to make the people around them do what people ask of them. I think people can have a tendency to say yes reflexively. Is that a word?
Yes.
Without really thinking about it. Saying yes to things they don't really want to do because they feel like they should. So say yes intentionally. And same with saying no. People tend sometimes to say no to things that maybe they should do, or maybe they say no because it makes them uncomfortable or it scares them or they pull back, but it's something that truly does pull on their heart. And there are times that you say no and maybe you should take the risk and say yes. So say yes, say no is all about being intentional and thoughtful about the things we say yes to and the things we say no to.
We could do a whole podcast on this.
We could.
We could just do a whole podcast on say yes and say no, because my mind is just bouncing all over the place. For a sneak peek of next week's podcast.
Go ahead.
So the whole say no is a complete sentence, right? No, no, just saying no is a complete sentence.
And
we don't need to excuse. We don't need to justify.
I know that's a total cliche. Not a cliche, but something that people say, and it totally resonates with people. No is a complete sentence. And I don't know that it is. Like, I don't know. I have issues with that as I've kind of lived with it over the course of a few years. If I ask you to do something for me, and for whatever reason you don't want to or you literally can't, do you think it would be like a great plan to just be like, nope?
Yes, but again, I think it's situational. I think there are times when people will ask something of you and you could just say no.
Do you want to bring, hey, Eric, can you bring cupcakes for little Maddie's fourth grade holiday party?
No.
Right? Who does that?
That's sort of the context, but I guess maybe the point is you don't have to over-explain. You could say, no, I'm so sorry, I just won't be able to. And that's enough.
Okay, but that means no is not a complete sentence.
Okay. No, I'm sorry, I just won't be able to, period, is a complete sentence.
Anyway, yes. Yeah.
And then a preview of next week's podcast. I'm kidding about next week's podcast. I have no idea what it's going to be. But the say yes and sometimes you need to say yes. This is actually a corollary of say no, because it's when people ask you to do something and, hey, Joyce, you know, 6 months from now, can you help me with this massive project? And you're like, I don't have anything going on 6 months from now. Sure. And you say yes. But you know what? 6 months from now, you're going to have all the same stuff you have going on. So what someone once said is, think about, instead of 6 months, if someone's asking, hey, day after tomorrow, can you help me with this massive project? What would you say?
So here's the problem for me with that. And you're totally right. And it's something I should do more of. Because I think I would do nothing. Because if you ask what I want to do tomorrow, like today we're getting on a plane. If you would like, no, I don't want to go. I would never do anything.
Yeah, years ago, and I think I've mentioned this maybe once or twice, I got asked to speak in front of like the local Chamber of Commerce. And the guy's like, hey, 3 months from now, you want to speak in front of the Chamber of Commerce? I'm like, sure, that sounds like a great thing. And the day of, I was a wreck. I was so nervous. I think that was like my first public speaking engagement in front of, you know, 23 local business people. It was not a big deal. But if he'd said, hey, tomorrow, do you want to speak in front of the Chamber of Commerce? I'm like, hell no.
But you did it. Are you glad you did it?
Yes.
So that's kind of the challenge, too. So you did say yes. You should have said yes. But if it had been tomorrow, you would have said no. It's so complicated. Do you see why say yes, say no is super complicated? And
life is complicated. Navigating this world and this existence, it's hella complicated.
It is. All right. Can I share a couple of my favorite core values?
Sure. Do you want to do all of yours and then I'll do some of mine? Do you want to you go, I go?
Let's do you go, I go, because otherwise we might not get to yours.
Okay.
If we get off on a tangent. No, and just if we get off on a tangent like we just did.
That would be on me.
No. So one of my core values is core value 8, zig when others zag.
I love that one.
I do too. First of all, it's fun to say because zig and zag is fun to say.
It is.
But it is the message of, for me at least, and again, every core value is subject to every individual's interpretation. But what it means to me is be willing to follow your own path. Be willing to follow your own heart and make choices that align for you despite what other people might be doing.
And I would say this one is certainly one that you have lived to about its fullest expression.
Well, thank you.
I would say.
Thank you.
So, that's a good one.
I guess that's why it resonates with me.
Exactly.
But I'm exhausted from all the zagging, or all the zigging.
You're zigging.
I'm zigging.
Others are zagging.
Others are zagging. I'm zigging. Zigging can be exhausting.
Zigging, I think, is harder than zagging. I think that's part of the message. But often it's more rewarding. I mean, that's the hope.
That is the hope.
So,
okay. You?
Eat the cupcake. Number 30.
I think we did that one.
Okay.
But okay.
All right, so...
Is there anything else to say on that, though, other than where we're going to find today's cupcake?
No, I think everybody gets that one. I think we've talked about that one a fair bit. So
where are we going to find the cupcake?
I don't know.
Because it's got to be a great cupcake.
Right.
That's the other thing about eat the cupcake. I'm just putting it out there. If you're going to eat the cupcake, it should be a good cupcake. It reminds me... So, months ago... It's so funny the way some things stick with you. So I had said a few minutes ago when we were talking about eat the cupcake, sometimes you just gotta lie in your bed and read a book. So several months ago, maybe a year or more, I was reading a book and I was like, oh, I just am not enjoying this book. It's well written, I should be, just, and I was forcing myself to get through it. And you looked at me and you were like, you know, life is too short to read a book you're not enjoying. And I was like, he's right. And I put it down and picked up a different book. So, eat delicious cupcakes.
Mm.
Okay, go on. Next.
All right, so this next one is number 46, go all in. And this resonates with me so much because we coined this one around my best friend's dad, who... Basically, that was his tenet for life, and he had some difficult challenges to make towards the end of his life, and he said to someone he was confiding in around this, and he just said, I'm all in. And this concept of going all in, and you know, his saying that and bringing it up and the story behind it is just super powerful, and it also... It goes back, is the doctor in?
Sure.
So it's honestly, I think there's sort of a, I don't know, theory or school of thought, or there's some quasi-Eastern philosophy around reincarnation that you are given a lesson to learn every time you come back from reincarnation. And I'm not saying that I believe in this or whatever. But the concept is you're reincarnated, you live this life, and your purpose for that go-around is to learn a specific lesson to help you evolve. And I think that, for me, one of the lessons, whether it's the reincarnation thing or not, but just one of the things that I have been struggling to learn and trying to learn. And this lesson has been shown to me over and over again during my 50 something, 60 years on the planet, is to go all in, to commit, to be fully involved. And yeah, so that's why this core value resonates with me.
Do you, question, do you feel like you don't go all in? Because I feel like you do often. You certainly went all in on CrossFit and look where it got you. Third in the world.
Yeah, and I did go pretty hard on that. And maybe this is me and some of my, you know, doctors and insecurities, but I feel like I could have gone inner. I could have put more in. So I did go pretty far in with that one. But I do think there are a lot of times, and less so as I get older and learn this lesson, but where I could commit more to different things and go more all in.
But that all requires sacrificing other things. So going all in, and I agree, it's a favorite core value of mine as well. If you're going to show up, bring your full self. But it's also a reminder that, or sort of the flip side of it, is going all in, especially over an extended period of time, requires sacrifice of other things. So for me, actually, as I'm thinking about it, go all in is, feels to me a little bit more short term. For me, what it means is if I'm going to take on a specific project or show up at a meeting or speak, as I'm doing this week, I should bring my best, fullest self and I should be fully present there. But going all in on one thing to the sacrifice of everything else in my life, that's a problem. But maybe that's that's the lesson I need to learn, because maybe I haven't done that, and that's why, you know, 90% of what I try fails.
Don't think it's quite that number, but but no, I also interpret it as what you were saying as well. Even being in a somewhat limited situation, you should put yourself in it wholly. And I feel like I hold back.
And okay, and that's why I bring up CrossFit. So interesting, because I don't look at it when I say I feel like you went all in and you go all in. You, I believe, go all in, at least when you were training and competing. Every workout that was intended to be all in, you went all in. When you were training, so I don't mean you were all in on that journey to the sacrifice of the occasional cupcake and your family and your work. I mean, sure, you could have done more. You could have stopped working. You could have spent 3 hours a day in the gym instead of an hour and a half or two. You could have dialed, you know, there were things you could have done. But all into the sacrifice of everything else, I don't know.
Yeah, I hear that. I do think it also applies to me, like going all in whatever that experience is and being fully committed to that. So, anywho, okay, what's your next one?
So this one is not a favorite exactly, as much as it is kind of, to your point, a lesson that, gosh, I just wish I could learn better. Which is core value 26, celebrate your successes. So this is one of my favorite core values because it is, I would say, one of the core values that I am not very good at.
Why do you think that is?
I have no idea. I think because I have a big appetite for more experiences, more adventures, more success. So one success, just I'm like, okay, what's next? I don't know. I mean, And I suppose it feels a little bit egotistical to celebrate my successes, like publishing my new book. Like, that was one of the more difficult things I've accomplished in my life. And I didn't celebrate it at all. There was not a single book party. There was not a single book signing. There was not a single moment. There literally was not a single moment of celebration of that. And a part of it is I don't know that I don't want to draw attention to myself because I don't really care, but I don't want to be like, hey, look at me. Hey, look at me. I published a book. Isn't this awesome? It just feels really uncomfortable to me.
Well, let's keep working towards successes and working on this. So I think we can do better. You can do better.
And you know, you're not great about it either. I mean, we as a couple and as a family are not great about it. Why is that?
Well, I, for one, am not a huge fan of drawing attention to myself, for sure. I do not like the, hey, look at me, look at me. I'm not comfortable with it. I never have been. So there's that for sure. And I think there's always the next thing. So
there's
even when we get to
thing.
A success, there's always the next thing that we're working on. And yeah, so something to work on for sure.
For sure. Can we actually try to work on that as a couple, as individuals, and as a family? We've got our son's college graduation coming up.
Yep.
We were good about celebrating their birthdays when they were little. Do you remember we used to decorate? So we've got two kids, as you all know, and they're very different. And one of the ways they're very different is our son sleeps like a log. And our daughter sleeps like a baby, meaning she wakes up from all the time when she was little. So for our son's birthday, we used to sneak in and decorate his room on his birthday. So he would wake up in the morning to a decorated birthday celebration. And our daughter, you could not even tiptoe into her room without waking her up.
And I think she got to the point when she was maybe a little older where she would just pretend to be asleep while we would decorate.
Okay, celebrate our successes. Let's do more of that. Your turn.
Number 73.
Oh my gosh, we're almost out of time.
Yep, number 73. And I'll go pretty quick on this one. Be a global citizen. And that one just really resonates me. Like, it's a big old world out there. Like, and when you, like, I saw something the other day from Neil deGrasse Tyson, the popular scientist guy. And he showed it like not a picture, but a representation of our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy where the world is.
Are we gearing up for this morning's existential crisis?
Maybe.
Okay.
And
just checking.
So there's a picture of this galaxy. It looks like a pinwheel. All the little dots are little stars. And then so imagine the galaxy is like the size of a laptop, but sort of oval. And then place a quarter on the laptop. And Neil deGrasse Tyson said, this area of the galaxy includes all the stars that you see at night. Like, that's what we see. Like, Earth is somewhere in there, our solar system, and then all the stars that we see in our galaxy are enclosed in that little space. Anyway, so
I mean, this is not a global citizen means our globe,
right? So
not the vastness of the universe.
Correct. So we are part of our globe. We're all in this together. And I remember I traveled once to Hong Kong, and you know, I grew up near New York. I've been to the city. I've been to all the major cities in America. And I remember, like, wow, like, I feel like I don't know the world at all. And I just was like, just in awe of that. And it just made me realize that, like, it's just this great big globe with all these different things, and we're all part of it. And we can all, like, I just want to be a global citizen and...
What does that... I really want to get to my last one too,
Okay.
but I don't know what that means as far as a core value. So yes, the world is vast and you're a part of it, but how does that translate into a core value? Like that sort of feels like a recognition the world is really big, but how is that a core value for you?
I think treating the world with respect, treating our environment with respect, treating other people with other cultures with respect is how we can all be a global citizen.
So it's a little bit about recognizing the connection between...
Recognizing the connection between all of us as far as the globe, as far as our similarities of being human and being part of this greater community. I mean, yes, we are Americans. Yes, we have our religious identifications, but at the core, we are fundamentally all humans traveling around this rock together. So let's be a global citizen. That resonates with me.
I love that.
Thank you.
I didn't love the existential crisis you were... that could be another podcast too, is like, you know, just the vastness of the universe. So,
well, what's a Weekly Walk podcast without
an existential crisis? it also makes me think, actually, I mean, I could go off on this a little bit, right? This idea that the universe is so vast and we as a global community are kind of one little speck in this together.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the context that you were looking at.
That's what I was going for. All right. We're going a little over, but you go to your, keep walking, people. You go to whichever one you want to be last.
There are two I want to do. So the very last core value is be true, because that has been a fundamental tenet of our relationship since early on. That could be an entire podcast on its own. And last but not least, of course, is 59. We were meant to live in community with our sisters, our aunties, our friends, and our families around us. And that, I think, is the core value that runs through all of the work that I have ever done. Like we've built these different businesses. I've done all kinds of different work. And yet at the heart for me has always been community.
Well, it's interesting because you've done these businesses that have really fostered community, but now you've done this workshop that's like directly around creating friendships and community.
I know, it's sort of terrifying to me because I feel like, not terrifying, but I feel like I have sort of approached this building of community in a sideways kind of way. Like I haven't gone out and said, let me find you community and friends and help you figure out how to forge those relationships yourself, because I don't know why. And now I'm just like, yup, that's what we're going to do.
Well, you told me, and you've shared some emails and stuff, that the feedback you've gotten from people who took it was literally life-changing.
It's still sort of, I don't know. I don't know why I find this scary. But anyway.
You've got another one coming up, so get ready to be scared.
I'm not scared doing it. But anyway, it's building community and reminding us all, like, this American ideal. What I often say is I don't think we were meant to raise up our families behind a white picket fence at the end of a long private driveway. We were meant to live in community, and the research teaches us that. Anyway, I could go off on this for a long time, but anyway, core value 59. Wow. And I don't feel like we've scratched the surface, because I guess there are a lot of core values we love.
99.
There is a blog post floating around the 99 Walks site right now in which some of our PAC members shared some of their favorite core values and the reasons why. So if you want to dig a little bit deeper into this, I encourage you all to take a look at the 99 Walks core values and spend a little time thinking about them.
And if you want to learn a little bit more about your upcoming workshop,
thank you for that.
JoyceShulman.com.
Yeah.
Check it out, and all about making friendships, building community, and as adults, man, that's hard. So a lot of great information in there.
Thank you. So here's the thing. Every now and then, Eric and I wonder, is anybody listening? Does anybody care? If you are listening, and if you care, I would be so grateful if you would take a moment and add a review, a rating, a something to wherever it is you listen to podcasts. Share this podcast on your social media channels, or just hit Eric and I up and let us know that, yup, you're listening, yup, you care, and yes, we are making a difference.